Hi, this is Russ Taft.
Hi, this is John Olifanti.
Hi, this is John Schlippen-Petra.
Hi, this is Kim Boyce.
Hey, everybody, Stephen Curtis Chapman here, and you are listening to Jesus Freaks Final to Digital.
Hi, I'm Jason Huddle, host of Jesus Freaks Final to Digital. Before we get into this week's program, I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for downloading this episode and giving us a listen. If you really like what you hear, we'd love to have your support. How can you do that, you say? Well, I'm glad you asked. Simply visit patreon.com/JesusFreaksPodcast and become a monthly sponsor. Now, you can do that for as little as two measly dollars per month, or you can go higher and get special perks, like advance access to episodes when available, the opportunity to submit questions I will ask our artists on future episodes, and even your very own Jesus Freaks t-shirt. Again, that's patreon.com/JesusFreaksPodcast. Patreon is spelled P-A-T-R-E-O-N. And hey, if you'd like your business or organization to become a sponsor of this program, let us know by visiting our website, JesusFreaksPodcast.com, and click on the Become a Sponsor link at the bottom of the page. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get on with the show. Welcome to this very first episode of Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital. In this edition, we're pleased to have on the line with us Dale Thompson, lead singer of the Christian metal group Bride. Although his roots might be in metal, that's not the only thing he's been up to lately.
You know, I don't believe in the natural Big Bang, but I've had a Big Bang in me that has projected all of these projectiles of all different shapes and sizes out into the universe. You know, I'm known as the voice of Bride, but, you know, I've got 10 other projects that I'm doing, and six or seven of those have already been released.
We'll also delve into his controversial theology, why he thinks Christian rock music went away, and you'll hear the answer to this very important question.
Now that you live in New Zealand, did you actually discover what a eucalyptus tree is?
That's all coming up on this premiere edition of Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital, a presentation of Cabco Media Group. I'm your host, Jason Huddle. Here we go. And welcome once again to Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital, our premiere episode. And I am so pleased you have joined us. This has been a long time coming. It's been months in the planning stages, and we are pleased to finally be bringing it to you. We've got a lot of great artists ahead in the coming weeks and over the run of this podcast, which hopefully is indefinite. But before we get to our first guest, Dale Thompson, I wanted to just talk to you a little bit about what Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital is all about. I grew up as a Christian music fan. I listened to Christian music all the time. The people that we interview, many of them are the same people that when I was 16, I was driving around my car and listening to these guys. So I'm a little bit fanboy and a little bit journalist as I'm talking to these artists, and I think they understand. But this show is really about having real conversation, honest conversation with these artists. What do they believe? And you'll find out that many of them are going through the same things that you are. So I really hope you enjoy our first edition of Jesus Freaks Vinyl to Digital. Without any further ado, here comes Dale Thompson from Bride.
So Dale Thompson of Bride fame. He's been a solo artist, Bride. He's had a couple groups since Bride disbanded. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, good. Not affected whatsoever by this COVID-19. Nothing's changed for me, but I was telling my wife, you know, it's odd because nothing ever changes regardless of who the president is, of what wars are fought. Even when 9/11 happened, nothing in my life changes, which is odd, because I hear everybody saying, oh, how this is changing our life and how this is doing this and that. No, doesn't have any effect on me whatsoever, which is the oddest thing.
That is unique, because I've been talking to other artists and, you know, of course, they're struggling right now. Their books are clear, whereas they're usually doing a lot of gigs and things like that. You're saying that's not the case for you.
Well, I've retired from touring, but I'm doing as much music as, well, more music than I've ever done. I'm actually involved in about 10 different projects, ranging from everything from thrash metal music to piano ballads, and even am writing hymnals. So I've written probably 25 or 30 hymnals that will appear on the Dapster Gentleman albums. So no, I'm the only thing that's slowed a bit is I was contracted to do two different albums by two different artists, and they can't get into the studio to record what they need to record to send to me. So that's put them on hold, but I'm writing it every day. I've recorded two songs yesterday. I've got a Haunted No More song to record when we finish this interview. From my daily life to my professional life, to the ministry, to whatever, my life doesn't change. And it's strange. I told my wife, I reminded her that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. And that applies to my life. And I'm grateful to God every day.
That's an awesome testimony. But I have to ask, it's unusual that you see an artist that does everything from thrash metal to hymnals. Mm. Is that a quest on your part? And I use the word quest for lack of a better term, but is that a quest on your part to not be pigeonholed into what Bride was, or is that just your eclectic musical talents?
Yeah, it's not intentional. It's not a deliberate thing of saying, watch, I can do this or that. It's the fact that I write. I have actually just in recent years come to realize that I am an artist more so than just a music writer or a singer. I'm an artist, and I don't limit what my canvas is. I don't limit the colors that I paint with. I explore whatever is eating at me on the inside. You know, for instance, the Perpetual Paranoia albums or the thrash albums. Well, I felt like the Lord was speaking to me and reminded me of the stories of the Bible that I had read as a kid. My grandfather had an old book. It had, they were about this thick, and there's four or five books. And I remember when I used to sit with my grandmother, because she was always afraid of everything. So when he went to the store, I sat with her, that I would read these Bible stories and as a child, and, things from Daniel and the Lion's Den, Sodom and Gomorrah, just all the standard ones. So with the Perpetual Paranoia album, it's a thrash album, but I took those Bible stories and put them into the song. So the fourth album that we'll be releasing next year, because we haven't even released the third, will be all Bible stories on this album. Whereas Miles Barfield, who I work in Dapster Gentleman with, he said, I've got an idea for some hymnals. Are you up for it? And I'm like, well, yeah, absolutely. I grew up on hymnals. So he's writing the music, sending it to me, and then I'm putting standard hymnal style lyrics to it and singing these big orchestrated complex pieces of melodies, counter melodies, harmonies, you name it. And it's in it. So as an artist, I'm evolving as an artist. I'm expanding. I don't believe in the natural big bang, but I've had a big bang in me that has projected all of these projectiles of all different shapes and sizes out into the universe. And it's creating all these new worlds within me as someone that was pretty much, as you said, pigeonholed before. I'm known as the voice of Bride, but I've got 10 other projects that I'm doing, and six or seven of those have already been released. So in the future, I've recorded enough music now that what I'm singing on and what I'm writing will be able to be released for the next 10 years, an album of year for the next 10 years. So if I get hit by a truck tomorrow, unfortunately for some people, they're going to have to keep listening to me because these albums will be released.
So let me ask you, since you brought up hymnals, and I've had an interesting discussion with my older son, who is an old soul, and he thinks that the church needs to get back to that, needs to get back to hymnals. We've gotten too poppy, too of the world, I guess.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Is that steps. Something that you agree with?
Well, that's what Miles, my writing partner, said. He said, I want to do older style. I don't want to do this praise, worship, cookie cutter formula, words on a screen for the whole hallelujah, praise the Lord, hallelujah, praise the Lord, jump and shout, praise the Lord. It's stuff with substance, like the old rugged cross or amazing grace or how great thou art. You know, it's those, it's got depth in it. And it's not this new formula, which I've said from the beginning, it was the youth pastors who adopted these praise and worship themes who destroy Christian rock music and metal. And here's the reason I say that. These same youth pastors had promoted rock and metal, and they had the influx of kids in. I mean, kids and young people and young adults and everybody coming to all these shows from Bride and Bloodgood and White Cross and, you know, Guardian, whoever. And they were seeing great success building their youth groups. Then suddenly these youth pastors decide, or the main churches decide, we want our kids to do praise and worship. Well, the next thing you know, all of the major Christian rock labels are gone, completely gone, folded.
Almost overnight.
Yeah, almost overnight. That left this lull. This left this big giant hole, like the gap between heaven and hell, left this big gap that nobody could cross over. You know, it's like, what do we do? So the youth pastors are like, hey, let's do some praise and worship. Let's buy some projectors. Let's get some fog. Let's put up a plexiglass so the drums aren't so loud. And they all have done this. If I were a lost person, if I did not know Jesus, that atmosphere itself would turn me off from attending church, for joining this. It is so far removed from what the world knows. So as a Christian rock artist, I'm still producing things that the world can identify with, and in musically, and, you know, some of the imageries and stuff, you know, you wear black, whatever, but enough that you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You know, you can't completely separate yourself and lock yourself behind stained glass windows and feel like you're being protected from temptation and the sins of the world. You've got to live in this world, or you've just become an island unto yourself over here, and you're only catering to the local natives. You know, you've got to reach out. And I don't see it. I don't see it. When I was in the States, wasn't anybody knocking on my door asking me to come to church. I came to New Zealand, worked with two different guys, one a Baptist, one Assembly of God. Neither one of them has ever invited me to their church. You know, it's that type of thing that I'm not seeing the church grow in that aspect. I see it just feeding itself off of itself. It's not getting the spiritual guidance that it needs at this point, because they're not open to it. It makes no sense to me. Whereas back in the 80s and 90s, man, there were revivals. There was a fire going on, and it was just a rolling fire, you know, just topping the trees and destroying anything that didn't belong, and new life was being sprung up from it, from the chars. And I don't see that now. And it's very disappointing.
bands like Bride and Guardian, those bands that you mentioned, they pulled some people in to the church and got them to start learning or at least thinking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. In a way that nobody else could. I remember I'm from North Carolina. That's where I'm at. And you guys didn't come to the Southeast very much. But I remember one time you came to Carowinds, which is the theme park near Charlotte.
Yeah.
So I remember looking around and you guys were on one of the side stages. And I just remember looking around and looking at all these guys they're throwing their hair around. They're having a great time. And you could tell they weren't living for Christ, but they were getting the message. That was something that I'm not sure. I think there's a gap there that we've lost that reach that we used to have to that group of people that aren't necessarily going to respond to Hillsong or Jesus culture.
Well, I see it all the time, especially on Facebook, where somebody writes to me and they said, I used to listen to you guys. It's a shame you're not around anymore. And I'm like, we are around. I have never stopped recording. Then I have to remind them in 2018, we released Snake Eyes. I've been releasing stuff with The World Will Burn and Perpetual and the album No Other God. And, you know, and they don't have a clue because they're not informed. Nobody's telling them. They don't know where to find the bands that they love and the bands that they used to really be into. I think all the bands, I talked to Jimmy Brown the other day of Deliverance, and we both shared the same concerns. You know, it's like people don't even know we're still operating. And
well, most people don't.
Yeah. I mean, if we could get those people and show them where we were at, we'd have an audience again. But now they've been engrafted into church programs, and they're sure. Just so busy doing that they've forgotten, you know, the bands that basically blazed a trail, you know, years ago.
Well, it's funny that you say that because that's partly what this podcast is about. It's mm-hmm. about letting people know that everybody I've talked to so far, all the artists I've talked to, they're all still working. They're all still doing their thing. It's just that maybe they haven't put out an album in a year, but like you've been putting out albums. Mm-hmm. Bride released one album again in 2018, Snake Eyes, as you mentioned, which I'll get to that in a second because that was going to be a question of mine. But, you know, I was talking to Brian Duncan. He's still working. He's still putting out music, and nobody just realizes it because they don't, you know, you don't have the Murs and the Sparrows and the all these powerhouse Christian studios anymore that are promoting that like they were in the 80s and 90s, as you said.
Yeah.
So let me ask you about Snake Eyes real quick. For us diehard Bride fans that couldn't ever get enough, why only one album? And it's like you're in, you're out.
Well, we kept hearing from people that they wanted us to do another album. And then Troy is extremely busy, and Troy is the music behind Bride. And he and I are the best writing team that I have because that we just work well together. We're brothers. So I had to wait until Troy sent me music. Regardless of how often I prodded him to write, he wasn't ready to write. Troy has a lot of ventures. He flies planes. He runs kind of a bed and breakfast thing. He works for the government. He's always building something. Troy is a lot more than just a songwriter and a guitarist. And his main focus is his family. So until there's gaps in the family activities, he doesn't write. But suddenly he started sending me songs and said, well, what do you think of this? I said, these are brilliant. I said, this sounds like old Bride to me, you know, let's do this. So we did. And it came out, it got great reviews. Some people are still not happy with what we do because they're really stuck in the 80s. But I can't believe that this album didn't whet their taste buds because it is a really good album.
Do you think it's a throwback to like Rattlesnakes or Kinetic Faith, that era?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, people always mention Snakes in the Playground, Kinetic Faith, but the best album that we've ever recorded was This Is It. in my opinion, the album This Is It kicks all of those other albums' butts. It is aggressive. It is rock. I had attitude when I sang. It was an incredible album that was completely overlooked, wasn't given any attention to. And it was disappointing. I would record another This Is It today, but I don't think the buying public can understand it, because it filled a void and a gap for me as an artist. But the new album that we are releasing this year, called Here Is Your God, it's already recorded. It's in Brazil now, and it's being mixed and mastered by some Brazilian friends who are actually playing on it. As a matter of fact, the same musicians that played on Snake Eyes. But this is even more of a throwback to around the Silence Is Madness days. It's got that kind of an Iron Maiden vibe at times. It's probably, people will still say Guns N' Roses, but it may have a little bit of that, but it's pretty consistent in the heaviness of the album. Singing better today than I've ever sang my whole life, you know. So yesterday for me was definite proof that God's still using me when I'm hitting notes that I may have never hit, or at least haven't hit since Show No Mercy. So
wow. Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah,
that's incredible, because there are a lot of people that can't do it anymore.
Well, it's funny, because my wife, she loves the Jesus Christ Superstar soundtrack, and she's always talking about the guy in there, I can't remember his name, but the guy that played Jesus hits this one note that is an outlandish note. So yesterday I buried that note and I stuck my head out and I said, "Did you hear that?"
I said, "Ready to go try out?"
I was like, "Who's the man? Who's the man? I am now." But if you can hit that note that this guy that played Jesus hit, Jesus Christ Superstar, you have really sealed the deal.
Can we get into your theology a little bit? Do you mind? Yeah. Because I've read a lot of things about you. People saying you're a universalist, that some people have said you're not a Christian anymore. I don't believe that for a second.
Of course.
Can you get into a little bit and clear the air a little bit about what your theologies are as far as universalism is concerned? Okay.
First of all, I believe in one God. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was God in the flesh, and that Jesus prayed to God as a man on the earth, that Jesus was crucified and he was buried. His blood was shed for the saving of mankind, for our sanctification, our setting apart from this world. I believe in salvation only through the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe that he has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit as our comforter and our teacher, one that we tune into when we are meditating upon the Lord to get our instructions. But one thing that I do not believe that there is a place of literal burning fire where God throws everyone. And the reason that I say that, and I won't try not to be too long, I have studied this and I've looked at the Greek and I've looked at the Hebrew, and there's not one place in all the Bible where the word hell has been translated correctly in the King James Bible. It means the grave. It means the unseen place. It baffles my mind that I even followed that doctrine of a literal burning hell, that my God, who says, love your enemies, would take his enemies and burn them forever. And this isn't just a few people. The doctrine says that he's burning the majority of the people that he's put on the planet. And all-knowing God, knowing that these people were going to be born, knowing that these people are going to walk the earth and face tragedies and heartaches and loss and all of this, that one day, just because they either wasn't introduced to Jesus, they were introduced to the wrong Jesus, and they didn't confess their sins, that he takes them all and smokes them in this place called hell. Well, we know for a fact that hell and death are both going to be destroyed one day in the lake of fire. So there will be no more hell, regardless of what Christians say. It's gone. It's in the lake of fire. How can hell and death be thrown into the lake of fire? There's no more death. There's no more hell. And you've got this big lake of fire. Now, what is this lake of fire? Well, my Bible says, and my Bible also tells and defines every word of the Bible, God is love. Love casts out all fear. All fear. You can't beat love. There's no greater love than if a man lay down his life for his friends. This lake of fire is God's consuming love. And I'll tell you why I believe that. I believe that Jesus is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Every man, it says every man, it doesn't say some men, every man that steps foot on this planet is here because of God's divine design. You got the lake of fire, and God is a consuming fire. If I wanted to take a rock of impurities that I knew there were a little bit of gold in it, I would take that rock and I would burn it. And I would smoke it out, and I would melt it down till all of that precious gold dropped to the bottom, and I would skew off all the dross, every bit of the impurities and yuck and stuff that you don't want in gold, discard it, and I would collect my gold. And that gold is what God is after. And that's the salvation that Jesus brought us, is because Jesus is the Savior of the world, not just part of the world. Jesus is the Savior of the world. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing sin. And God will be all in all. It's very plain. What Adam did by bringing the sin into the world through his transgression, brought all this sin into the world. Man didn't ask to be born. Man didn't ask to be here. We didn't hold up our hand and say, send me down to this sinful world. Everything that Adam did, the Bible says Jesus did so much more. In the first Adam, all die. In the second Adam, or I shouldn't say second, the last Adam, which is Christ, all are made alive. That's it. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. It's not a forced confession, because you can only say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit. That's my doctrine in a nutshell.
So what about those that would say, well, what's the point then? Why do I need to accept Christ while I'm on this earth? Because I'm going to get to go to heaven anyway.
What better life than a life of purity and a life of joy and happiness, knowing that God is on your side every single day, the relationship that we have with him? Can you do anything that you want to do, anything, murder, robbery, rape, whatever, and get by with it? No, there's consequences to every act that you do, whether it's on this earth or in the next life. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And nothing that is impure will walk those streets of gold. Some will come willingly, and some will come with their heels dug in. But God is not failing, and Jesus did not fail in his mission. That's where Christian universalism, not universalism, not Unitarianism, but Christian universalism is all scripture. It's not going outside. It's not finding some cosmic Christ out there. It's not looking some new age thing. It is digging into the scriptures and finding out what the Greek and Hebrew actually says about the subjects that we're supposed to know as Christians.
So as we close out here, I just have a couple more questions. I'll shift gears for a second. You mentioned you have about 10 years of music coming out. Anything for Bride, or is it going to be Dapster Gentleman? What else is in the pot for us?
All right. Well, let's see if I can remember it all.
And also, where can people find your music?
Yeah, right now, Boone's Overstock and Rocks Records is the two places. So Bride's album should be out by the end of the year. It's called Here Is Your God. Perpetual Paranoia will have our third album come out this year. It's called Hellfest, oddly enough. A little poke. Of course, I had to do that. The Thomas Thompson Earth Project, which I'm very proud of. We've already released our first album. The second album will be out hopefully this year. It's not named, but I guarantee you, if you thought you heard something on the first album, the second album is epic. It is heavy Metallica type bass, Judas Priest type bass, heavy rock, heavy metal. That'll be out this year. I believe there may be another Haunted No More that comes out this year. I'm working with two other artists, Randall and Swingle and Thompson Ordained. Don't want to get those confused. That's a rock album that hopefully will get finished up this year. Then I've got Sovereign Cross did an album with Gary Sullivan, and that album should be out this year if everybody can get back in the studio. We Are Resolute. They're going to have an album come out that I provided vocals for. Not really my project. I just sang what they asked me to sing. I may have written some lyrics, but I can't remember exactly. And then Dapster Gentleman will be releasing singles all through the year for another release next year, because we just released our second album, Answers. I think that's it. The World Will Burn, that's still up in the air. Alan and I are still talking about if we want to do a fourth album or not. But as of now, I want Alan to change gears so that I can do a speaking jazz album with him, with urban sounds.
Spoken variety word. Does not stop.
Yeah, spoken word, jazz, urban night type, you know, where you can actually just smell the smoke in the air type album.
So final question. Now that you live in New Zealand, mm-hmm. did you actually discover what a eucalyptus tree is?
No. still don't have a clue. Not even for sure if I've ever even seen a eucalyptus tree. I will tell you this, though. When I used to work out heavily, because I was a professional power lifter, I love the smell of eucalyptus in the steam room. Guys would bring it in and pour it on the steam vent. Yeah. And the whole room would fill up with this eucalyptus smell as you sat there and sweat out everything in your body. And I miss that today. So if I could find some of that eucalyptus scent, I'd be in business.
Very good. Yeah. Well, Dale Thompson, lead singer of Bride, Dapster Gentleman, and solo artist. Thank you so much for your time today, man.
I was just going to say thank you for asking me to do this.
I appreciate it. And it's a privilege and an honor to be able to talk to you, man. And we hope to hear lots more music in the future from you guys.
Well, I'm going to record something and after we hang up. So
feel free to send it to me. I'll critique it for you.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good.
You know, we recorded that interview in the height of the COVID shutdown. So I know there were some technical difficulties in there. You could hear some lagging, things like that. So I hope you will excuse that. But I do want to say something about Dale's theology and some of the things he said. First of all, they are his opinions, but that's what makes this show so great, is because it gives us an opportunity to hear the thoughts behind these musicians' songs. We might not always agree with their ideologies, and that's okay. But the most important thing is that Dale's heart for Christ is unquestioned. And I hope that at the very least, we can all respect that. Next week on Jesus Freaks Final to Digital, going from Bride to New Song. That's right. Michael O'Brien, former lead singer of New Song, is going to be on the program. He's actually going to share his testimony and sing some songs from his new project for our program exclusively. So make sure you catch that. Taking us out this week from Bride's brand new project, Here Is Your God, it is In the End. Until next week, God bless.